Okay, says the Gemara like this. Again, about 6-7 lines down. Rav Huna Amar O Kesef O Meitav. So Rav Huna comes along and Rav Huna says Kesef O Meitav. And you're looking at Rav Huna and trying to figure out what on earth are you talking about? What do you mean, kesef or meitav? What's the context? What are we discussing? What is going on here? So Baruch Hashem for our Rebbe Rashi. So Rashi fills us in here. Says Rashi, Rav Huna Amar, Lo kasha kroy dile el, kesef umeitav. There is no question about the psukim that we had beforehand. What psukim did we have beforehand? What? Kesef and Meitav. Well, not exactly. That is what Rashi says. It's not 100% precise, which is interesting. What? Yashiv and Meitav. So Rashi tells us that Rav Huna is going back to the Gemara on Zayin Amud Aleph. On Zayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara had, right, Rami Le Abaye the Rava, that Abaye asked Rava, Ksiv Meitav, Sadeh Meitav, Gar Mishalim, which sounds like Dafka Meitav. And nothing else. Then we had a puzzle which said, Kesef Yashiv Va'alav, that Kesef will be returned to the owner. Yashiv, we said, is being Marba. Anything that you're going to return, Apilu Subin, even the brand, even the junk. And the Gemara gave us several possibilities in order to answer that contradiction. Balkorach, Omidaito, then we had the whole piece about Nisan versus Tishrei. And what seemed to have been the maskana of the Gemara was what the Gemara said on Zayin of Beis from Rav Huna Berei de Rav Yehoshua. Right, Kiyasa on the first, on Zayin of Beis, in the first wide line, Kiyasa Rav Papa Rav Huna Berei de Rav Yehoshua and Beira, Yehoshua, Kol Mili Meitavu. Rav Huna ben Rav Yeshua and Rav Papa were machadish to us. Then what is the difference between the two psukim? That meitav is a din when you are paying karka land specifically. But meitav, almost by definition, applies or is part of the definition of omataltalin. Omataltalin are considered to be meitav. Why? Because there's a market somewhere for everything. So you can take it from place to place until you can figure out who's going to want it. But karka stays put. So if you have a lousy piece of karka in a bad spot, it's too limited who is going to purchase it. And therefore, the Torah wants to make sure that if you are getting back karka as payment for the damage that was done to you, you will have the best chance of being able to sell it. We're not assuming that you want to get back meitav. You're not assuming that you want to get back karka. In the end, most people want kesef. But the Torah is saying, if you're going to pay karka, then you pay meitav. So that was the Rav Huna Beid Rav Yeshua and Rav Papa's resolution to the contradiction between meitav and yashiv was that everything, all metaltalin are considered to be meitav because they have the same property of being easily sold. As opposed to karka, where it has to be specifically meitav, therefore there is no contradiction between the two. Says Rashi, Rav Huna is now giving us another answer to the contradiction. Rav Huna is giving us another answer to the contradiction. So what's the obvious question? Why on earth did he wait until Testament Aleph? Where has Rav Huna been? Where has Rav Huna been since Zayin Amud Beis? If the Gemara listed off a bunch of answers, and then had the answer of Papa Rav Huna Beis Yeshua, and we didn't have any other answers, so we assumed that there was a closed case. We're done with that topic. We can move on. There's even a tudas. Right, we're ready to move on. Says Rashi, back on Testament Aleph, so again, Rav Huna is resolving the contradiction between Kesef and Meitav. He's saying, there's no problem. Okay, so we need to know a way to have sadosa. Either you give money or you give metav. So now Rashi says, and the reason that Rav Huna hasn't spoken up until now, when it would have been, he should have said something already, because this is a continuation of a sugya that started on Zayin and Aleph and seemed to have come to a conclusion on Zayin and Beis, and now we're on Tessa with Aleph. Why do you wait? Mishum deboi la suke milsa de rishmog rabbi akiva deboi la el kishahein shaman bishalohin shaman b'chui b'hava kamari v'azil. So for whatever reason, the Gemara at that point felt it was important that once we've been discussing Meitav when it comes to land, we need to have a discussion of how you define something as Meitav. Is it B'Shalom? Is it based on what he has? Or is it B'Shalom? So the Gemara interjected right there the Ibaya that we had, the question that we had. Again, from Shmuel Bar Abba, according to Rabbi Abba, how do you figure it out? Everything that the Gemara had from there until we just finished on Testament Aleph was actually a continuation of that tangent. Because that question of B'Shalom Hinshaman or B'Shalom Hinshaman ended up introducing us to the wonderful world of Shibudim. Right? It was when we went through that brace on the bottom of Zayin and Beis, and then we went up to Chesed Aleph, and suddenly we had, oh, you know what it's talking about? Bahai Solo Idis Umachra. That he had Idis and now he doesn't have any more, and that's why. Who cares what he had? So we started explaining at that time was no. There are things that fall into place because there are these liens, because there are these shibudim that develop that start from that very first moment when the transaction takes place. Everything that we had in the Gemara afterwards until now was all extensions of that discussion. So once we started off on that tangent, the Gemara waited until the tangent was over, and now gets back, and Rav Huna finishes up the discussion that we had before. So that's the why Rav Huna is here. Now, what did Rav Huna just say? Rav Huna or Kesef or Meitav? That wasn't our stira. Our stira was Shove Kesef and Meitav. That was our problem. That Yashiv was marba, even Subin. It was the Subin that's not the best versus Meitav. That was our contradiction. So what's Rav Huna talking about? So lucky for us, the Gemara asks the question. Eisvei, Rav Nachman Rav Huna, Rav Nachman after Rav Huna, Yashiv, Rav Sheva Kesef, Yul Subin. You're telling me about Kesef and Meitav is a much bigger problem. What are you going to do with the braisa that says that we darshan from Yashiv that you can pay back even Shave Kesef, even things that just have the value of Kesef? So Rav Huna is going to have to respond to that. Look at Tosfos. Look at the first part of Tosfos for now. It says Tosfos, Rav Huna Amar Kesef Meitav Pirushat Kuntrish. Rashi explained, Shebal the Taretz, that Rav Huna is coming to answer, Kri Dila El, the psukim from before him. But what's the obvious problem? If he's coming to answer the psukim from beforehand, why do you need this Eisvei? Rav Huna should have known from the beginning, if he's coming to answer, again, Rav Huna tells Kesef or Meitav, what was the contradiction? The contradiction was, right, was Shave Kesef versus Meitav. Meitav in Midyach Menilo. And then we have a drush of Yashiv, right, that Yashiv was coming to include Shave Kesef. That was our contradiction. So why do we need an Eisvei? Why do we need, again, after the Gemara asks the question, so we're fine. All right, once the Gemara asks the question, so now we're back to that we need an answer, because now we're bringing up Shave Kesef as well, and he's going to have to answer that. But Rav Huna off the bat, what was he thinking? Why is he saying, oh, Kesef or Meitav? That was never the question. So says Tosfos. Bitzarach Lomar, you have to... He was going one step at a time. So the first step was Kesef, and Meita. The next step is Shava Kesef. Why is that a natural progression? Because remember, what was the Pasuk? The two Pasukim, one said, right, Meita Sadeyu. And the second Pasuk said, Kesef Yoshiv Leba'alav. So the first thing he addressed was Kesef. And he starts saying, you know what? When you owe somebody money, you damage somebody, you're going to have to pay Meitav or Kesef. And the next thing he was about to say was, and if not Kesef or Meitav, then it's going to be Shavah Kesef. But Rav Nachman was so shocked that Rav Huna could make the statement, he jumps in and goes, you forgot about Yoshev, you forgot about Shavah Kesef. And for whatever reason, the Gemara decided to leave it in the form in which it happened. And therefore, that's how we have it right here. So again, Rav Huna knew the stira from the beginning. Otherwise, you're left with, according to Rashi, you're left with an obvious problem. Why do we need an esvei to remind Rav Huna of the contradiction that he was trying to come and answer? Doesn't make any sense. Rav Huna, if he's going to answer the stira, has to know what the stira was. And the stira wasn't from Kesef or Meitav. The stira was from Meitav versus Shavah Kesef. So Tosfos says, according to Rashi, you have to say that he basically was cut off too early. Then Tosfos says something interesting. Then we'll get back to the Gemara. V'istigarsi Amar Rav Huna. There are those that have the gears of Amar Rav Huna. V'kaya Maskis, and it's going back in our Mishnah. Disnan b'meitav aretz, that you pay with meitav aretz. V'amar Rav Huna, and then on that, going back and commenting on the Mishnah, Rav Huna says, "Delav davka meitav." Not just meitav, o kesef o meitav. Kesef or meitav. What's the difference between this girsa and between our girsa?
Amar comes before.
What?
The Amar comes before Rav Huna.
Good. So in our Gemara, it says, Rav Huna Amar. Tosfos says that there's another girsa that says, Amar Rav Huna. What's the difference between Rav Huna Amar and Amar Rav Huna?
One's like a new statement, one's an argument.
So which is which?
I think Rav Huna Amar is an argument.
Right. Rav Huna Amar, and this is something to remember for Shas, when it says so-and-so Amar, the Gemara assumes that means that he is responding to something somebody else said. Somebody said this, but Rav Huna Amar, Rav Huna says this. Amar Rav Huna, as Rav Huna got up in the base medrash one day and makes an announcement and says, oh, I hold Kesef or Meitav. So what that's, but Tosfos is, you see, Tosfos is taking this difference so seriously that the explanation of the Gemara hinges on the order of the words. If it's Rav, and now you know what triggered Rashi. Why did Rashi learn this as going back on the previous discussion? Because if you have the Girsa of Rav Huna Amar, then it has to be going back to something we had previously. A previous machlokas that we had. Look through the last amud and a half, and Rav Huna doesn't seem to be responding to anybody. The last thing that the Gemara told us that Rav Huna could be responding to was Ayin Abayz. Was this contradiction? And what Rav Huna Rav Yeshua made me their suggestion? Now, Rav Huna Amar this. Tosfos though says, if your gear says Amar Rav Huna, then you don't have to go back to anything. Which has an advantage. Because then you don't have to justify why the Gemara took a break from Zion and Abayz to Tesfam Adalef. But you need to figure out why did Rav Huna suddenly say this. He says, well, just think about it. The Mishnah had said on Tesfam Adalef that if you damage, you have to pay. So Rav Huna is going to qualify, but that's true. But that's one possibility. It's not the only thing you pay. It's not the only thing you're going to pay b'meitav aretz. It's one of the dinim. So Amar Rav Huna says, don't think when the Mishnah says b'meitav aretz that it's davka b'meitav aretz and nothing else. So those are the two versions of Rav Huna. But again, it hinges on this,
on this little difference of where the Omar is, the Tosfos is taking that so seriously, and apparently Rashi as well, that it completely affects what the Pshat is. Okay, so now let's continue understanding. So what does Rav Huna actually mean? And we'll learn like Rashi. And assuming like Rashi, that Rav Huna is responding and saying, I have a new answer to the contradiction, so what is his answer? So we have to see how he responds to the Kasha. So far he told us that you can pay either Kesef or Meitav. Now Rav Nachman asks, doesn't the Braisa say Shavei Kesef? What are you going to do with Shavei Kesef? So and back in the Gemara says, the Gemara Hacha B'maya Skinan, here, what are we dealing with? Here is referring to the Braisa. Right, the Braisa that says that you can pay Afilu Subin, what's that talking about? Bidalesle, what he does not have. What does he not have? Says Rashi. Bidalesle, lo kesef, velo sados. Lo kesef, lo sados.
He says sados.
He
says sados here.
He says sados, which is interesting, right? As opposed to just meitav, which sounds like you're going to have to pay from any kind of land before it. It does sound that a little bit. Maybe it's true. Maybe. It's interesting that Rashi says that. It's a good thing in Rashi. What the Gemara is saying at this point is that Rav Huna's pshat in the stira is that you have two levels of payment. Right? You have level one of payment. Level one of payment is this. Is kesef or meitav. Level two of payment, meaning it only kicks in if you don't have something from level one, is going to be Shavei Kesef. That's very different than the last part we said in Rav Huna Beit Rav Yeshua and Rav Papa on Zayin and Beis, where we said, no, Shavei Kesef has the Maila, has the advantage of, since it's movable, it's always considered to be Meitav, and you can always pay with it. Rav Huna himself, says not that way. Rav Huna says not that way. But the Gemara says, I don't understand. Says the Gemara, Pshita. It's obvious. What's obvious? What's so pasha?
That he doesn't have something he pays with whatever he has.
Right. Meaning, if he doesn't have Kesef, he doesn't have Meitav, what are you going to say? He doesn't have to pay anything? He doesn't have to pay anything? If all he has is Shavei Kesef, he's off the hook now. Obviously he has to pay. So what else is he going to pay with besides what he has? So Rav Huna, maybe you're right that level one is Kesef or Meitav, and level two is Shavei Kesef, and it only kicks in if you don't have something from level one. But why do I need the Torah to have an extra word of Yashiv to teach me that you're paying Shavei Kesef? What else are you going to pay? That's the Gemara's question. Pshita, it's obvious. Rav Huna's answer doesn't work. If it's so obvious, that if we're talking about a case where you don't have anything else, isn't it obvious that you're going to pay with whatever you have? We don't need a puzzle to teach me that. Answers the Gemara. Mahu desemar. I would have thought, Amrinon le zil tarach zoven v'aisi le kesef. Kamash malam. Mr. Gemara, no, I have a solution. What's the person who's collecting here? That's the Nizak who's collecting here. He's going to be getting suvin. They're paying him in soda cans. You're giving him the full value of the $100, but you're paying him in soda cans. What's he going to do with the soda cans? He's going to cash them in and sell them whatever it is to get the $100 worth. He's going to end up with money.
He's not going to end up with $100 necessarily.
We assume that with your Mashiach, that's what he'll be able to get. We assume that he'll get that.
That's nice.
We assume that he'll get that. Again, we estimated it over, so he has to pay that amount. Again, soda can is a bit of an extreme example. But you're paying with something that has a value, and we have our professional, you know, estimators figure out that this is what it's worth, and you can get that on the market. So what's he going to do? He's going to take the soda cans, and he's going to cash them in. So what would have been the alternative? If anyway it's going to end up being in Kesef, because that's really what the Nizak wants, maybe I would have said, you know what, if you don't have Kesef or Meitav, you go ahead and you sell your Shava Kesef. You sell the soda cans. Why should the Nizak have to be the one to sell the soda cans? You sell them, and you go through that tircha, and then give him the money. Let's talk a good habamina. That's the chiddush of the pasuk. It leaves you wondering almost why is that not the din, but apparently it's not the din. Apparently it's a din of paying. It's a din of paying. As long as I have paid the amount of money, it's his choice. He doesn't have to sell it, give it in for kesef. He can choose to hold on to the soda cans if he wants. But that is his choice. The Torah is being mechadesh that as long as I pay him the right value, I have fulfilled my responsibility. Good? So that is Rav Huna's pshat in the Gemara. Rav Huna's pshat in the Stira is that from Meitav Zadeyu and Kesef, we derive level, just the word Kesef, we derive level one of payment, that you pay either Kesef or Meitav. Meitav sounds like you're only paying the good stuff if you're not paying money, not paying the bad stuff. How can Yashiv teach me Afilu Subin? Says Rav Huna, that's teach me, if I don't have Kesef or Meitav, then I can pay Shava Kesef. It's a backup. It's a backup. Why do I need it to teach you the backup? Isn't it obvious? No. No. Maybe I would have said that before he pays, the Mazik has to go ahead himself and sell it and get the money and then pay with the money. Kamash Malan, not. Yeah.
I know we already discussed this a while ago, but even if it's something that's let's say I have a straw company, right? And if I make 1 million straws, they have value and I can distribute them and sell them because I have all these restaurants I'm selling to. But if I were to pay you and you do the straws, good luck starting 1 million straws.
Right.
Like, even something like that.
There has to be a way, that's part of what Beis Din has to figure out, that there is a way that he can get rid of it. There's somewhere he can sell it to. Maybe he's going to have to sell it for less money. He doesn't have the connection. I don't know. We'd have to figure it out. It would have to be in an equitable way. Okay. So that is the Gemara here. Yes?
Is that logic to why the Nizak doesn't need money? Shouldn't we benefit the Nizak here?
I mean, that's not to have. I mean, I might have thought. But again, the Kamash Merlan is that you're right. But it's better for the Nizak if nobody damaged him. But life is life. And sometimes things happen. The job of the Mazik is to make him whole. That's the Chiddush of the Pasuk. How he does it? So we have, here he's saying we have two levels. Again, keep in mind for a moment that Rav Huna is not being harder on the Nizak, he's actually being easier. Because according to Rav Huna Brady of Yeshua beforehand, all Shava Kesef was considered to be Meitav. So those soda cans are considered to be Meitav, and you can pay for it even if you have money. So again, even though Gemara is fleshing out the Havamina here, and it makes Rav Huna sound worse, he's actually being more advantageous to the Nizak. He's just saying it doesn't go so far. Yes, Kesef is ideal, but if you don't have the Kesef, if you don't have the Meitav, then we don't require him to go out and be Matriach himself.
Wait. So how is it going to be nicer than a Nizak? Is he being less nice? Is he going to make Nizak has to pay? Sorry, Nizak is going to have to exchange the soda cans.
Yeah, but again, according to the Pshat of Hunabed of Yeshua earlier, he says that you can pay with the soda cans even if you have money.
If you don't have money.
Right, he's saying two levels.
Otherwise, if you have money, then you're
right. Right, so he is being quote-unquote nicer. I'm just saying that we shouldn't be so shocked. Again, it seems to me that according to everybody, the pshat in the end that the mazik has a responsibility to make him whole. To make him whole. How convenient it is? So that depends on their drushas.
Soda cans is kind
over
of
here.
Not such a nice move if you have money already.
It's correct. Again, even paying in pennies isn't such a nice move, depending on how much money it is. But that's actually
Kesef. I guess
so. Okay. Okay. Good. So again, I don't think it's a very complicated piece of Gemara. What I wanted to do in the remaining time is to look at the rest of the Tosfos Rifuna. I don't know if anybody had a chance to see it yet, but it will help maybe bring the sugya to a close. So back in Tosfos. So Tosfos now, we're like, I don't know, 6-7 lines down, it says, Uba Sefer of Alphys. You have it?
Yes.
So who's your Alphys? The Riff. Now Tosfos, sometimes we'll quote the Riff, and sometimes we'll not. We'll go for spells without quoting the Riff. But the Bala Tosfos, again, it seems like at least some of them did have the psukim of the Riff. And here's quoting from the Riff. Uba Sefer of Alphys Pirish. The Rif explains, "The Rav Huna b'Reid of Yeshua of Rav Papa de Lael pligi ad Rav Huna d'hacha." He understands, like we just explained, that there is a machlokas between, on the one hand, Rav Papa and Rav Huna b'Reid of Yeshua and Zayin and Mebeis, who said that all metaltalin is considered to be meitav, and Rav Huna over here, who says that it's not meitav, but there's a chiddush that when you don't have kesef and you don't have meitav, you're allowed to pay with Shavu Kesef. The Inu Savri, because they hold on Zayinim Abeis, Kol Mili Meitavu, Fafilu Subin, that everything is considered to be Meitav, even the Subin. Ravuna Savar, and Ravuna says, no, Delo Abim Meitav, Ela O Kesef, O Karka. And that's also in line with the Diuk that Eitan made in Rashi before him. That it sounds like, according to Rav Huna, any land will come before, right? Even any land will be considered to be made up over Shava Kesef. So the only time we're going to go to level 2 is if you have no land and no money. Between land and money, sounds like it's a choice according to Rav Huna. But it sounds like we don't have any reason at this point to think otherwise. But if you, as long as you have land or money, you're not allowed to drop them down to Shavu Kesef. Okay? As opposed to Rav Huna, Beit Rav Yeshua, and Rav Papa, Dav Zayin Rebeis, who said you can pay with metaltalin, is considered to be Meitav. Oh, so why do I want to see this? He's going to tell us, so how do we paskin? How do we paskin this Shaila? Upasak Kirav Papa Rav Huna, b'Reid Rav Yehoshua, Shehim Basroi. Upasak, Kirav Papa, Rav Huna, b'Reid Rav Yehoshua, Shehim Basroi. Says Tosfos that the Rif, Haskins LaHalacha, Kirav Papa, Rav Huna,
B'Rei
de Rabbi
Yeshua.
So level 1? They hold that you can pay metaltalin. That's what you meant. There's one level. You can pay metaltalin, you can pay Shavu Kesef, it's all considered to be metal. We paskin like we thought we ended up at the end of Zayin Amud Beis. What's the reason? So he says, because the halacha is kibasroi. What does that mean? What's the basar?
After,
good. So we have a rule in Klal Yapsak. We have a rule in Klal Yapsak that the halacha, again, there are other rules also, so it doesn't always work out that we follow this rule. But one of the rules is the halacha goes like the later opinion, chronologically speaking. Now, obviously, after a certain period of time, that ends, because we don't assume that the, you know, Rishonim, we paskin, they disagree with the Amoraim. So within at least the framework of the Gemara, and again, sometimes within the Rishonim as well, we say Hilchos HaKibasroi, that they had more information. You have to be on a certain level. So the fact that we have much more information is mitigated by the fact that we are so distant from those previous generations. So apparently, and chronologically, Rav Papa and Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yehoshua came later than Rav Huna. Therefore, the Rif paskins like Rav Papa and Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yehoshua. Good? Oh. However, V'Rabbeinu Tam, Ein Sover came.
Rabbeinu Tam does not hold this way. Dimefarish sheyesh gimel dinim. Says Rabbeinu Tam, and again, I just want to do this because I think this is something which we have sort of spoken out in the past and wondered about. Rabbeinu Tam suggests that there are three dinim here. What does that mean? So says Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says there are three dinim here. What are the three dinim? Din number one, says Tosfos, Binizakin O Kesef O Meitav V'ilesle Afilu Subin. Din number one is when it comes to Nizakin, damages. When it comes to damages and paying for the damage that took place, what's the halacha? Like, whose opinion?
Oh,
who does Rabbeinu Tam passing like when it comes to Nizakim?
Everyone.
Hmm?
Rafuna?
Everyone basically
said. Rafuna. Our Rafuna, right? Because right, again, just read carefully what he said. Because he made a level, right? He said, O Kesef O Meitav, V'iles Leif, he doesn't have Kesef or Meitav, then Afilu Subin. So by Nizakim, he passes like Rafuna, right, Kesef, or Meitav, and then, and Ilesle, Afilu Subin. That's din number one. Din number one of every, so again, so right away, again, he doesn't explain why he doesn't assume he'll have Sakya Basra, right? But as I said before, these rules are not ironclad. There could be another reason why he felt, whether it's that the stomach of the Gemara left it over there and now went on over here. I'm not 100% sure what reason Tosfos doesn't give it, why Rabbeinu Tam thought that the halakha should be like Rafuna over Rafuna Ben Yehoshua and Papa. But that's how he passed it. But he only passed it that way by Nezikin. We have to keep this in mind. Because we've had all different types of payments that we have been, especially in the last blot and a half, been throwing together. Because level number two that Rabbeinu Tam is going to talk about is our good old friend, the Baal Chov. We've sort of been smushing them all together. Rabbeinu Tam separates them. Din number two, Baal Chov, I isle zuzi, v'mati l'salko elo bezuzi. What does he say? If you have money, you must pay with money. Even at a karaka. Now this doesn't mean that it's not dino bebeinonis. The halacha is that if you're paying the karaka, which karaka is it? It's the beinonis. But says Rabbeinu Tam, and again he's saying it based on a sugya elsewhere in the Seferes Ksuvos, that the din of a Baal Chov is that if you have money, you must pay with money. So that's din number two. That's different than Nezikin. When it comes to Nezikin, it's Meitav or Kesef, and then if not, we go to Subin. When it comes to Baal Chov, then if you have money, you must pay with money, and then if not, you go on to the other levels. Let's skip that for now. What happens if he does not have money? Says you can't say, the Bacho cannot say, you don't have money, go and sell something that you have in order to get money to pay me back. Then it goes to the other levels, it goes to Karka, then maybe it even goes to Shabbakesa. That's when it comes to the Baal Chov. Then he says parenthetically.
Does that argue with what we've said earlier?
No.
It doesn't.
No.
Because again, all we've been discussing when it comes to the Baal Chov is that when the Baal Chov is going to get karka, it's going to be Beinus. And why it would be Beinus. But we did not talk about the order of collection. We did not talk about the order of collection. So yes, if he does not have money and he has to collect land, then which land is there a Shibra on? Is there a lien on? That is going to be the Beinus. That's going to be the Beinus. It's not a contradiction, just we never set it up as a hierarchy of how you're paying. Then he throws in, and this is not din number three, then he throws in that if you have a case below chaos, and nimtza mechon mechaptos kimofein dino. What happens if you have somebody, I purchase a car from you, and it turns out that the car is a lemon. So I come back, and I want my money back. So you have to pay me back, you get your lemon back, and I get my money back. So how do you have to pay me back? So Tosfos says that payment back is like a bafol. So if you have money, you have to give me back money. If not, then it'll take on the other rules. Okay, that's din number two still. They go down one more line right after the parentheses. Upoel. Din number three is a poel. What is a poel? Action. Good. Who is called a poel? Who does actions?
An actor.
A worker. A poel is a worker. A poel is a worker. A sofer is a poelim. A perik in Shas. A poel is a worker.
Bank
a
poel is a worker.
Yeah, okay, good. But again, it probably comes from that same show, if a poel is doing an action. So a poel, what about a poel? You work for me. So if you work for me, I owe you
money.
Can I pay you with shabbat kesef? Can I give you subin? Can I give you land? Where does a poel fit? A poel is another example of a person who I'm obligated to pay money to. The nezikin was because I damaged, the bachov was because I borrowed, and the poel was because you worked for me. I have to pay you. Says Tosfos, says Rabbi Natan, poel, Ilesle the Balabayas Zuze. If the Balabayas does not have money, Omar Le Zil Tara Bezoven Ba'isi Zuze. You always have to pay your Poel money. A worker, it is assumed, is working for
cash.
Is working for money. If you do not have money and you only have Shavah Kesef, then the Hava Amin of our Gemara goes into play. That's how you see how strong the Hava Amin is. Right? The Gemara didn't just throw in a Hava Amin that doesn't exist anywhere. We actually have a case, according to Rabbi Yotam, where if you don't have money, we can say to the Poel can say to his employer, go sell your desk. Go sell your computer. Sell whatever you need to sell and bring me my money. I don't want your computer and I don't want your soda cans. I want cash. I want the money. And he is in his right. The case there is, let's say the worker does something, he produces something of value. Let's say the worker is a shofet. So can the person who hired him say, no, I don't have any money to pay you. You keep the animal. You keep the meat. The meat was the same, again, in this particular case, is the same value as what I was going to owe you. So the Gemara of Mitzia says you cannot force the employee to take that which he produces. Why not? Shavah kesef! It's shavah kesef. I'm still giving you something. If it was a case of nizakin, it was against the Zakin, I could pay with it. Why not here? See what you see from that Gemara. Because again, what would he do with it there? He could take it even if he doesn't eat the meat, and he could sell it. The din is no. The Poel can turn around to the Balabais, as we call them, to the employer, and say, you know what? You take the meat and you sell it. Give me my money. A worker is entitled to money. So that is the halacha according to Rabbi Natan. So again, we don't know what the riff holds in these cases, but there is a machlokas between the riff and the Rabbi Natan about nizakin, how to paskin. According to the riff,
We pass in like Rav Papa and Rav Huna Ben Yehoshua and Zayin and Rebbeis, and you can always pay with
Subit, Metaltolin, because they're automatically considered to be Metav.
Because they're movable and they're easily sold. Mash'ein Kein, Rabbi Natan says that when it comes to Nizukin, which is the case we're dealing with, we fast in like Rav Huna. And therefore, if you have money or land, you have to pay with that. You can only move on to Shavu'ot Kesef once you don't have either of those. Yes, once you don't have either, you can pay Shavu'ot Kesef, and the guy can't insist on getting Kesef or Maos and saying, you sell it and give me cash. That was the Havim in Aragamara, but it says that that's not true. That's what the Zer Shava, which was over here, of Yashiv teaches us. And then Rabbi Natan just fills us in that this is a unique halacha when it comes to Nizakim. And again, all of these psukim were in the context of Nizakim. Right? The Meitav one was by Mishilachas Biro, and the Yashiv one was by Bor. So it's not surprising that the only time that it plays out exactly this way is when it comes to Nizakim. When it comes to Bachov, the Bachov is entitled first of all to money. If you don't have money, you don't have enough oomph to be able to force him to sell Shavu'ot Kesef in order to get money for you. And then he could pay with the Beinonis, and then presumably with Shavu'ot Kesef as well, if there is no plan. And when it comes to the Poel, then the Poel can always get money. And he can force the Baal Bais to go sell whatever he has in order to get money. Yes?
So here's a question. Some communities, right, they made the show that eat the meat. They made him because they wanted to make sure that the kosher standards of the meat are up to the standards.
Okay.
They would pay him a little bit from the meat.
If that's worked out before, and it's fine. Again, okay. If I make a deal with you that I'm going to pay you in soda cans, I can pay you in soda cans. The point is that if we don't have any deal otherwise, then we have to assume that a poel is expecting money. If the poel comes back and says, I don't trust you to go out and sell the stuff, it's going to take you 3 weeks. I'd rather take your Shavu'ot Kesef and I will sell it myself. He's certainly entitled to. But the question is, what can we force? And the poel, as opposed to the other guys, can actually force the Baal HaBayis to sell the stuff in order to give him money. Okay. That brings this part of the sugya to a close. Again, the next part of the sugya is also a little bit different. It's interesting. Well, I'll try to give you those Mar Makomos.